And we're here in North Carolina to talk about the election, but we couldn't come to this state without talking about barbecue, or eating it for that matter. And as you'll hear from a local TV host, the two are most certainly connected.
I'm Bob Garner, and I've written 4 books, and my latest one is called Foods That Make You Say, mm-mm. Because that's sort of a tagline of mine on TV.
So when you look at the nation of barbecue, you think of Memphis and the dry rub there. You think of Kansas City. You think of Texas barbecue. Right. And you think of North Carolina barbecue. But what you're saying is there's not one North Carolina barbecue, and that's very important.
Yeah, there are actually 2 styles, plus all the other American regional styles. Here in eastern North Carolina, the English and the Scots-Irish settlers did what they saw the Native Americans already doing when they showed up. The Spanish had been into the Southeast 100 years before, had introduced pigs. A lot of those pigs had gone back to the wild. So the settlers came in and found the Native Americans already barbecuing what were then feral or wild pigs over pits dug into the ground, frameworks of green sticks that they constructed to put the meat on, and they would smoke or pit cook that meat over those beds of coals. And that became the style that the English and the Scots-Irish settlers in this part of the state copied. Much later on, the German migration began to move down from Pennsylvania through Virginia and into North Carolina, and they had a fondness for the pork shoulder. They had been used to consuming that. They liked to braise it in kind of a apple-flavored liquid. They liked a little bit sweeter and a little bit milder sauce. In eastern North Carolina, it's very peppery, a vinegary-type sauce that was originally developed in eastern North Carolina.
Well, that is the kind of barbecue that I would think of is North Carolina barbecue, that vinegary sauce.
Right, and that sauce used to be common all over the original 13 colonies, but now that particular flavoring only survives in eastern North Carolina, and that's because people didn't used to eat tomatoes. In colonial days, they thought they were poisonous. They were grown mainly as ornamental plants. By the time barbecue became popular in the Piedmont, they had learned that tomatoes were safe to eat. So they started adding a little tomato and a little sugar, making a little sweeter, milder sauce that sort of imitated that German sauce, type sauce that they had brought a taste for.
So here we are about a month out from a big election in North Carolina, a big Senate race. Does barbecue have anything to do with politics?
You know, people would argue that barbecue has almost everything to do with politics. First of all, political gatherings just featured barbecue very often because it was a cheap way to feed a crowd. These political caravans would come to town with people running for office from state offices down to the most local offices, and they would have a big political caravan, a big gathering, maybe at the courthouse or in the town square. They would have free barbecue. It was a way to kind of get people to stay around, listen to speeches, and you could feed a crowd of people very inexpensively. And we had a former Secretary of State who used to joke years ago that when these political caravans came to town, all the pigs would run and hide because they knew that there were going to be a lot of pigs giving their life in the service of politics. So it's always been the food of politics in North Carolina, more for practical reasons than any other. You could, even back in the covered wagon days, people could chop up a lot of barbecue and feed a lot of people rather inexpensively.
Well, this is a perfect moment for me to bring in our other guest here, who knows very well what barbecue means for politics in North Carolina. And Rufus, if you could just introduce yourself.
My name is Rufus Edmiston. I'm a recovering politician, and I was elected Attorney General in 1974, ran for governor in 1984. I lost, I'll tell you why in a minute. And I am now, as one of my little nephews one time said, Uncle Rufus is a lobster, a lobbyist.
A lobbyist now, but let's go back to that reason that you lost. What happened?
Oh, well, now there are many, many versions of that antic, but I can tell you exactly what happened. This is from the hog's mouth. I'd been campaigning day and night in a very strenuous campaign that year. There were 10 of us running, as Bob remembers. 10 people said it was Pharaoh's army, and I'd knock one down, and then here'd come another one over the hill. It was like a cavalry. And one night, I was at the NC Faculty Club, Bob, and after it was over, for some reason, so I said, "You been getting enough barbecue to eat lately?" Well, something came over me that no one in their right mind would ever do. I said, "Yes, I certainly have. I'm tired of it. Hope I never see another drop as long as I live."
You said that?
I said that, and I was joking, of course. Well, the next morning, News and Observer has an article, "Edmiston Attacks Barbecue." And then to top it all off, though, as the day wore on, this thing gained a lot of steam. And my friend Wilbur Shirley, who Bob knows very well, called me. He was my campaign manager for Eastern North Carolina. He said, "What in God's name did you say about barbecue? My phone is ringing off the hook." I said, "Well, Wilbur, I was just kidding, and I'd like to never got him back." And so I decided to call a press conference because it was gaining momentum. And I hadn't made the mistake of saying you like Eastern or Western. That's another thing Bob will tell you, that you don't dare say I choose Eastern over Western. And I called a press conference and I said, "It is very obvious to me that the devil made me say that. There's just no way in my right mind I would ever have said that. But the devil made me say it, and I have an appointment with an exorcist. And I'm headed that way, and I'm sure that by tomorrow morning I will have removed all the iniquity in that statement I made about barbecue." And it has continued to this day. I've judged many a barbecue contest since that time. I've judged two the past week.
Because of that?
Obviously. Why else are they going to call me? They don't usually call on recovering politicians to do anything.
Do you really think you lost because of that?
Well, you add that up with Ronald Reagan coming through here twice and taking the state by 63%, and then that's it, yeah. And a few other little things like singing Too Much Honky Tonk Angel when my mother said, "My boy Rufus, he's a good boy. If he'd have sung a lot more Amazing Grace and a lot less Honky Tonk Angel, he might have been governor." So you add up singing Too Much Honky Tonk Angel, add the barbecue faux pas to that, and you have a disaster for a defeat.
So when you go to these contests now and judge them, do you like barbecue now? Or what, was that really a one-off?
I never stopped liking the barbecue. That's the whole thing about this deal. I never stopped liking it. I have withdrawals at times. I sometimes have to go off for 4 or 5 days on these fancy trips now that I make for clients, and I get these distinct barbecue hunger pains. You can get too much of anything, but you can also make a fool of yourself like I did. But it's been a lot of fun for me.
It was a lot of fun for us to eat the barbecue and the banana cream pie. And afterwards, I had one more observation.
Well, here we are. The plates are pretty empty at this point. We've done a very good job eating this delicious barbecue. And I will say, Rufus, you did eat it. You clearly like what you had.
Yes. It's taken 30 years to do it, but I think it's about time I proved it myself, and I do it.
Isn't that an incredible story,
I tell
Robin?
You, not only that story is incredible about the effect of saying anything about barbecue, but we now know your evil plot, traveling the country to talk about politics, it's a guise. You just wanted the banana cream pie.
That's probably true. Well, thanks to our hosts here at WUNC, especially Russ Henry, who has been at the control board. Here Now, production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
Going on to Georgia. I'm Robin Young. This is Here Now.